The challenges and difficult moments we face in life are not permanent. They're temporary. There will come a time when all the darkness in our lives will be replaced with everlasting light. This is the fourth message in the series, What to Do When, How to Handle Life's Challenges. The message is entitled, When You're in a Dark Place. Here is Pastor Dale O'Shields.
Would you join me welcoming our Frederick campus this morning? Good morning to all the folks in Frederick. Come on, I think you can give them a better welcome than that. Come on. All the folks in Frederick, good morning to you. Good to see you this morning. If you're taking notes this morning, you'll find an abbreviated form of our notes on the back of your bulletin. If you'd like a further set of those notes, you can get them from our church app. The MyCOR app is there on your Apple Store, your iOS Store, and also the Google Play Store. And I believe you can get the notes as well at church-redeemer.org/info. Those are available for you to take notes today for a more extensive version as we continue our series together, What to Do When. I want to talk to you today about what to do when you're in a dark place. What to do when you're in a dark place. We're taking a look in this series at the life of Jonah, and we're seeing that Jonah's story is far more than the story of a man who was swallowed by a big fish. There's a lot of information and revelation in the book of Jonah to help us to understand how to handle different circumstances of life, what to do when certain things happen. And today we're looking at what to do when we're going through a dark place in life. To understand the setting of today's message, we need to go back just a bit and understand the sequence of events that has led us to this point in Jonah's life that we're studying today. Jonah was given a mission by God. He was a prophet of Israel, the 10 northern tribes of Israel. And he's given this mission to leave northern Israel and to go to a place called Nineveh, which was the capital city of Assyria, and to preach a message of repentance to this group of people. Now, the Assyrians were a constant threat at this time to Israel, and so Jonah did not want to go and preach this message because he did not want to see them repent. He did not want them to turn from their ways. He wanted God to destroy them, and his great fear was, if I go and preach to the Assyrians in Nineveh, they're going to repent of their ways, they're going to turn to God, and God's going to be nice to them, and I don't want God to be nice to them. I want God to destroy them. And so Jonah leaves northern Israel and he goes down to a place called Joppa and he gets on a boat. And once he gets on that boat, he heads away from God as far as he could possibly go. As we see here in verse number 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Here's a little map to describe this. Here's the 10 northern tribes of Israel, 2 tribes of Judah. Jonah is a prophet here to Israel, to the 10 tribes. This is Assyria. This is the capital city of Nineveh, which, by the way, as you'll see here, that's kind of a picture, artistic rendering of what Nineveh would have looked like at that particular time based upon archaeological digs and so forth. And so he's called to go to this city, great city, Assyrian city of Nineveh. And so he's going there to preach. He doesn't want to. So he goes down to Joppa, which is modern-day Jaffa or the southern part of Tel Aviv there in Israel. He gets on a boat and notice where he's headed to. He's headed to Tarshish, which is far to the west here. This is where the Mediterranean Sea meets the Atlantic Ocean. You might know the Rock of Gibraltar there, that area. And so he goes about as far away as he possibly could from the mission God had given him. And as he's on the way there, a storm breaks out. And in this storm, of course, it's a very life-threatening kind of storm, and the sailors are trying to determine who's causing this. Certainly, God must be mad at somebody because the storm is terrible, and so they end up casting lots, and Jonah is the one that's picked. And of course, then we see this happening as the Bible describes it here in Jonah chapter 1, verse 15. Then they took Jonah and threw him where? Overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. And so now Jonah finds himself in the water. He's overboard in the raging sea, and now the raging sea has become calm, and Jonah is there in the deep blue Mediterranean Ocean, all alone. And notice what happens next in verse 17. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I want you to particularly notice this one phrase here. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. While it's great that Jonah did not drown in the sea, Jonah finds himself in a situation that is very dark. I've never been in the belly of a huge fish before, but I can only imagine that it's fairly dark in there. And I can only imagine that the stench is pretty strong and that the gastric juices are working all around me. And you can just use your imagination for a moment to kind of figure out this wasn't the most pleasant place to be at in the world. It's certainly better than drowning, but here you are in the belly of a huge fish and you're in a very dark place and you're saying, I got myself into this situation. I've gotten myself into a not only a storm now, but now I'm in a very dark place. What am I supposed to do now? What do you do when you're in a dark place? I want to share with you four lessons today that I believe we can gain from this story of Jonah and the dark place of his life. And the first lesson certainly applies to all of us to understand that dark places are very real in our lives. One of the myths of following Jesus is the idea that true believers always live sunshiny lives. Everything's peaches and cream. And there's some theologies that exist in our world today that will tell you if you follow Jesus, everything's going to basically be all right. You'll have a perfect sort of life. And it couldn't be anything further from the truth. To live for Jesus is to find, certainly to find joy and peace and security and to find an abundant life in Him. But this does in no way mean that we will never go through dark moments, dark situations of life. All of us at some point in time are going to face very dark days. Very dark days. Days when it feels like we too may be in the belly of a big fish and everything is dark around us and we don't quite know what to do. If you study the scriptures, you'll see over and over again, person after person who went through, great men and women of God who went through very dark seasons in their life. Jesus Himself went through a very dark moment. We see it described in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, on the night before He's going to be crucified. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He's praying this prayer. Please notice the agony in which He prays these words. My soul, notice this word, is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Jesus says, I feel like I'm dying here. In the Garden of Gethsemane, there he's overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He says to His disciples, stay here and keep watch. He wanted the encouragement and the comfort of people around Him because of the depth of darkness He was facing in His own soul at that moment. The psalmist David certainly understood dark moments in his life. We studied this just a few weeks ago, but listen to it again. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, or the valley of deep darkness, I will fear no evil, for You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. But David said, I have walked through some very dark places in my life. There's a prophet by the name of Elijah in the Bible, and Elijah also had a very dark moment in his life experience, actually multiple dark moments. Let me tell you about one of those moments that follows a great victory. Because Elijah the prophet, as you read about his life in 1 Kings chapter 18, he's serving during the time of a very evil king by the name of Ahab, who had a wife named Jezebel. And they worshiped Baal, and so they had established a great extensive worship of Baal in Israel. And so there's this moment, as you read about in 1 Kings chapter 18, where Elijah is confronting the prophets of Baal. There were 450 prophets of Baal. And so in this contest between Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal, God comes through for Elijah in an incredible way. It's a miracle of what happens there. I will not go into the details of the story. I would encourage you to read it in your own time. But it's a great miracle that happens when God allows His power to be shown in a dramatic way. So Elijah has this great experience, and right after that he learns that Ahab and Jezebel particularly has designs on his life, wants to kill him. And so take a look at what Elijah does at this moment. The Bible says Elijah was afraid. and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servants there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and what did he do? Prayed that he might die. I would call that a dark day, wouldn't you? Have you ever prayed, God, I'm ready to go. It's over with. I just as soon die. And he makes this continuing prayer. I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. A very dark moment in Jesus' life. A very dark moment. We see certainly in David's life, the psalmist David, a very dark moment in Elijah's life. We talked about it last week. It was a dark moment in the life of the Apostle Peter. After Jesus had predicted that Peter was going to deny him three times and then the rooster would crow, and indeed that happened. And immediately following the crowing of the rooster, Peter looked up and saw the eyes of Jesus and Jesus looking at him, and notice what happens. He went out and wept bitterly. We call that a dark moment. It was so dark that Peter did not know if he could recover from it. And not too many days later, he makes this statement, I'm going out to fish. I'm not sure I can do this disciple apostle thing anymore. I think I'll go back to doing what I did before and be a fisherman. And said to the other disciples, they said, we'll go with you. So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Notice that night. This is a dark place. What I want to say to each one of us here today is that all of us go through dark times in life. Jonah found himself in a very dark place. He did not understand what was happening to him. And there will be seasons in your life that you will go through moments that you do not know what's happening to you. You can't figure out what's going on in your life right now. Everything seems dark. The light that you had before doesn't seem to be shining any longer. The presence of God that you felt before doesn't seem to be as real to you as it was perhaps in times past. There are moments in all of our lives when we find ourselves in the belly of a huge fish and it seems very dark. And perhaps there's someone in this room today, or someone in our Frederick campus today, or someone watching online, and you can say, that's right where I am today. I just don't know if I can do this anymore. I'm not sure if I can make it through what I'm going through. Life seems so dark in this moment. Jonah found himself in a dark place. Here's the second lesson for us today. We learn from Jonah that dark places require something. What do they require? They require action. In dark places, listen to me, when you're in a dark place in life, here's what you're going to be tempted to do, to become very spiritually passive. Life is hard, things seem dark. I can't seem to feel God like I used to feel him or understand what he's doing in my life. And so I'm just going to sort of pull up the spiritual covers over my head and bury myself in my spiritual pillow and just sort of zone out because I'm not sure I can do this anymore. In dark places, passivity, spiritual passivity is a big temptation. Just going to be passive because you've lost hope and you're feeling like giving up. You're at that place of sort of resignation. It's that place of, I'm just going to sort of sleep my way through this, spiritually speaking. But let me tell you that inactivity in a dark place is the worst thing that you can do. When you're in a dark place, it's not time to be passive. It's time to get active. When you're in a dark place, it's time to exercise your spiritual muscles. And we see this in Jonah's life. Jonah had been very passive in the storm, but he becomes very active in the belly of the fish. He finally spiritually wakes up. Take a look with me at the actions of Jonah now in the dark place called the belly of the great fish. From inside the fish, everyone say inside the fish. Where is he? He's inside the fish. What does he do? Jonah? He was not praying on the boat. But now he's praying in the belly. Okay. You don't see Jonah praying in the boat ever. Never mentions Jonah praying in the boat. In fact, all it says about Jonah in the boat is he's sleeping in the boat. Okay. But by the time he's out of the boat into the belly, he begins to, I got to change some things in my life. And so he begins to pray. He becomes spiritually activated. In the dark place, he begins to do something. So from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. He said, again, activity in my distress. I called to the Lord. He answered me from deep in the realm of the dead. I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas. And the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again. I will look again toward your holy temple. See, he'd been running away from Jerusalem. Now he says, I'm going to look back toward Jerusalem and your holy temple again. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. Can you picture that? He goes on with this activity, describing it. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will make good what I have vowed. I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. Now, why did I read you that passage of Scripture? Because I want you to see something. Suddenly, Jonah becomes spiritually activated. Instead of being overwhelmed by the darkness, he does something that propels him out of the darkness. He begins to be spiritually active. And again, so many times in life that when you're going through the hard times and the dark times of life, the devil wants to rob your prayer life, and the devil wants to rob your praise life, and the devil wants to rob your church attendance life and your Bible reading life and anything that represents a spiritual activity on your part. He just tells you it's not worth it anymore. It's not helping you. He'll try to convince you to become spiritually passive. That is the worst thing that you can do. Here's a statement for you. The fastest way out of your dark place is by becoming spiritually active. If you're in a dark place today, don't you stop praying. And if you've stopped praying, start praying. If you're in a dark place today, don't you stop praising. If you've stopped, start praising again. Whatever it is that you've allowed to vanish from your life because of the darkness, re-engage that spiritual activity. Why? Because the fastest way out of your dark place is by becoming spiritually active. Now, I'm learning something in my spiritual journey. I hope it'll help you as I share it with you this morning. I'm learning that I can't speed up God's timing, but I can slow it down. And so I don't want to slow down getting out of my dark place. And if I don't engage spiritually as I should, I can very easily slow it down. You say, well, I see that for Jonah, but are there any other places in the Bible that present to us this principle? Yes, there is. Many places. Let me give you one of them. In Acts chapter 16, let me tell you a little bit about this before we read it. Paul had been called to a place called Macedonia, a city called Philippi, to preach the gospel. He preaches the gospel, cast out a demon from a little girl there, a servant girl, and the master of the servant girl becomes angry at him, and there's sort of a riot, sort of a disturbance that happens in the town, and suddenly Paul and his fellow worker, Silas, are arrested. Take a look at what happens here. Here's the story. Acts 16, verse 22. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them, notice this, order them to be stripped and beaten with rods. That's bad, is it not? And after they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. Another bad deal, okay? And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell. So they're in the deepest, darkest part of the prison, and fastened their feet in stocks. About when? Everybody say dark. Would you agree it's dark at midnight? Okay. About midnight, about one of the darkest times of the evening, about midnight, Paul and Silas were complaining. Is that what it says? No, that's what we would do, right? Let's just think with me for a moment. I want you to get right into the story with me. You've been doing good. You've been preaching the gospel. You've been leading people to Christ. You've been driving demons out, and setting people free, and trying to help people understand how much God loves them, and you find yourself beaten, stripped and beaten, flogged, thrown into prison for doing all of that, what would your attitude be? Would it perhaps be, God, what is this all about? I'm trying to do the right thing, and I get this for it? This is the pay I get for doing all of your work? And we could very easily slip into a pity party, could we not? But I want you to see Paul and Silas in a very dark place. Remember, what's the principle? In a dark place, what is our responsibility? To become what? Spiritually active, okay? They're in a really dark place, so I want you to see what they do in their darkest place. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. So notice that in the dark moment of their life, they're exercising this principle. The same way that Jonah, when he found himself in the belly of the whale, he's now praying to God. He's now offering grateful praise to God. He's now remembering God and reinforcing his vows to God in the dark place. Now, Paul and Silas in their dark prison, what are they doing? They're praying and singing hymns to God at a time that I'm sure they didn't feel like doing it. They were in this dark moment, but said, you know, we've got to make sure that we stay spiritually active. This is the last time that we need to become passive. We need activity, spiritual activity in our lives. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. What an amazing story, as you see, not only in Jonah's life, but you also see it in Paul and Silas's life as well, a liberation that occurred for them. The third point that I want to share with you this morning is very clear. Dark places are real. In your dark places, you need spiritual activity to engage in it. Here's the third thing, because God meets you in your dark place. I'll give you a moment to write that down because I don't want you to miss the next statement I'm going to make for you today. Are you ready for it? Simple statement, but I want you to hear it. There is no place that's too dark for God. I want to say it again because there's somebody here today that you're in a dark, dark place in your life and you're wondering if God can get to you. And I'm here to tell you, and if you ever go through a dark place like that in your life, to remember this, there is no place that's too dark for God. Why? Because he is light, okay? He is light, okay? There's no place too dark for God. This is the whole essence of Jesus' ministry. As Matthew describes the beginning of Jesus' ministry, I want you to see this. I hope we're getting this today. Leaving Nazareth, this is speaking of Jesus, Jesus went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great... Who is the light? Jesus said, I'm going to those people who are living in darkness. I've come to them as light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Jesus said, there's some people up in that Galilee region that are living in darkness. Isaiah prophesied that I, as the Messiah, would come and usher in light in the midst of their darkness. So Jesus is the light giver. And Jonah experienced this as well. What is he doing in the belly of the fish? He's praying, he's praising, he's active, he's engaging with God. And notice what happens, because in Jonah's life, as he's doing these spiritual activities, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now think with me for a moment. If you've been in a stormy boat for a length of time, and in the belly of a fish in the ocean for 3 days, what do you really appreciate? Okay, you really appreciate dry land, okay? And so God allowed him to be expelled from that ship onto dry land. God responded to him. Please remember, there is no place that is too dark for God. Where can I go from your spirit? The psalmist said, where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light becomes night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So God meets us in our dark place. Are you in a dark place today? You're a candidate for God to show up in your world right now. But don't be passive, be active. That comes to our final point. Number four, dark places they're temporary. Very important statement for us to remember. Dark moments don't last forever. If I had time today, I could take you through just piles of scriptures. I don't have time today. I'm only going to give you three of them. But I want you to see that if you're going through a dark time, stay spiritually active, because that dark time isn't going to last forever. Isaiah 43. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Isaiah the prophet, speaking on behalf of God, says, oh, you're going to go through some waters. There'll be times it'll feel like life is drowning you, but hold on, because you're going to get through it. And there may be times that you're thrown into the rivers of the currents of life, and it may feel like you're going to bang yourself up against some terrible rocks and be destroyed, but don't worry about those rivers, because you're going to get through it. There may be times when there's fire burning all around you and things get really hot in life and you think you're going to get burned up by the circumstances you're facing, but don't give up, because you're going to get through it. I want you to say with me today, I'm going to get through it. Say it together. I am going to get through it. If you're going through a dark season today, declare with me, I am going to get through it. The Bible says you're going to get through it. And it's vital for us to remember this, because in the dark moments, it feels like you're never going to get through it. But the Bible says you're going to get through it. Well, when am I going to get through it? I have the answer for that. Are you ready? Okay. It's in the Bible. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have had to endure many trials for a little while. And the God of all grace, who called you His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. So I'm going to get through it, Pastor. You're telling me that God says I'm going to get through it, but when am I going to get through it? In a little while. In a little while. When's a little while? I don't know. It's a little while. How long is a little while? I don't know. It's a little while. Okay. And your little while may be different than another person's little while. So you don't compare your little while with somebody else's little while. Just know, I'm going to get through it. When? In a little while. The Bible doesn't tell us when a little while is, but it says, you know, just hold on. You're going to get through it in a little while, okay? You're going to make it through the other side. And so even though you don't know the exact moment when this is going to happen in your life, you have the hope that God is at work in your situation, and He's going to get you through in a little while. That's why this principle is so vital to us. Never make a permanent decision in a temporary set of circumstances. Don't make a permanent decision in a temporary set of circumstances, because in a little while, you're not going to be in that set of circumstances any longer. You're going to get through it, okay? I'm going to ask you, and this is, I'm not trying to play games with you. I'm trying to help reinforce something for your life today. And so please work with me on this. I want you to say again with firm comfort, with firm affirmation, I am going to get through it. In a little while. Say it again with me. I am going to get through it. In a little while. I want that in a little while to get so deeply ingrained in you that that's all you say this next week. Somebody ask you, how's the weather? In a little while. Okay. Good morning. How are you? In a little while. Okay. I want it to burn so deeply in your heart because you are going to get through it. Yeah, a little while, okay? Now, let's broaden things out just for a minute. I want you to see it in a bigger picture. I'm just about done here. Because people say, well, what if it doesn't happen before I die? What if I don't get through all this? Please understand something, that if you look at your life right now, listen closely. If you look at your life right now, let's say you live 100 years, okay? You live to be 100. Would you agree with me that 100 years compared to eternity is a little while? Is it? Is it, right? Come on, think with me for a moment, right? Is 100 years and compared to forever and ever and ever, is that a little while? Okay. So even if you struggle with something for 100 years, it's still a little while, okay? And it's not going to last forever because we don't live for this life alone. This is not my permanent home. How about yours? I'm like Abraham. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, okay? I'm looking for something. I'm just a sojourner here. I'm just hanging out here for whatever time God allows me to hang out here until he gets my mansion built, okay? Because I know he's preparing a place for me in eternity. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 14. I know that when he's going to come and take me to that place when it's his time. And so I'm going to wait whatever that little while is, even if it's my whole entire life, because that's just a little while compared to eternity. And when I get into eternity, I can be assured of the fact that all that stuff, all the dark moments will be gone because God, the light, will be shown to us in perfection. Isaiah speaks of this in Isaiah 25, 8, 9. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He will remove forever all insults and mockery against his land and people. The Lord has spoken. In that day, the people will proclaim, this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord in whom we trusted. Let us rejoice in the salvation he brings. John the Revelator, man of revelation, sees in the heavenly realms and gives us these words of what he sees in heaven, what he hears in heaven. Then one of the 24 elders asked me, who are these who are clothed in white? Who are they? Saw these people clothed. Who are they? Where'd they come from? And I said to him, sir, you're the one who knows. Then he said to me, these are the ones who died. They died when? In the Great Tribulation. In other words, they went through it. They died in the Great Tribulation. Not after the Great Tribulation, but they died when? In the Great Tribulation. So he sees these individuals clothed in white. Who are they? Well, these are the ones, this is John seeing in heaven, these are the ones who died in the Great Tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Okay. You say, well, Pastor, I've got some tears going on right now. Yeah? Jesus had tears. Elijah had tears. David had tears. Peter had tears. In life, you're going to have some dark moments. When you're going through those dark moments, the devil will do everything he can to shut you down. But when you're going through the darkest season of your life, don't you let the devil shut you down, okay? When you're in the belly of the big fish, you make the decision, I'm going to pray more than I've ever prayed before. I'm going to praise louder than I've ever praised before. I'm going to serve God more adamantly than I've ever served Him before, because I'm not going to let the dark place shut me down. And I know that God is going to meet me in my dark place, because there is no darkness that is too dark for God, because He is light. And I know that every dark place I go through is temporary. I'm going to get through it. When am I going to get through it? In a little while. Amen. Would you bow your heads together as we pray? Father, we thank You for Your word today. I know there are people in this room today, those in our Frederick campus, those watching online, that are right now in a very dark place. Despondency, discouragement, depression. Things that have weighed them down and made them feel like there's no way to make it through. But Lord, today You've come to them to remind them that just as You found Jonah in that dark belly of the big fish, that Lord, you know right where they are today. And I pray that through the power of Your Holy Spirit that You would remind them this morning that You're there to deliver them. I pray that You would reactivate them spiritually if they've become passive. I pray that today they would be stimulated in a fresh way to pray, to praise, to engage with You. And I pray that You would meet them in their place of difficulty, their dark moment. Lord, let them know deep in their spirit today that they're going to make it through. In a little while, You'll get them to the other side. Seal Your word in our heart by Your Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name.
I would like to close today by giving you an opportunity to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Would you pray with me right now? Right where you are, just simply bow your head with me, and I'm going to give you a prayer to pray, and you can simply speak this prayer out, whisper this prayer out, and from the sincerity of your heart, call upon God, and I promise you that He will hear and answer you. So let's pray together. Start by simply whispering the name Jesus. Let there come from your heart just the declaration of His name. Say, Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, that I have fallen short with You. I'm sorry for all of my sins. Jesus, I believe in You. I believe that You are God's Son. I believe that You are the Savior of the world. I believe that You died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that You rose from the grave, that You are alive today. Now pray these words. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Give me a new start in You. I commit my life to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, I want to encourage you with a promise from God's Word that says that when we call upon God's name, we call upon the Son of God, there is salvation that comes to our lives. He changes us from the inside out, and you become a new creation. All things pass away, all things become new. And that's exactly what has happened to you today. Your next step really is to make sure that you get into a good Bible-believing church. And you begin to study God's Word, get God's Word in you, and to make sure that you get a copy of the Bible if you don't have one, and begin to read it. Spend some time every day in prayer. And I would encourage you also to check out the resources on our website that will help you to get going in your relationship with Jesus. You can find them at church-redeemer.org. Get those into your hands. Get started in your new life with Jesus Christ. Thanks again for joining us today. May God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you next time.